Hello, this is Zoe with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated May 20th, 2015. We'll begin today's reading with an article from the local section titled United Way Distributes 6% More Money to Programs by Paul Schweich. The success of United Way of McLean County's fundraising campaign means that 6.2% more money has been allocated by United Way to human services programs. Last year was shared sacrifice, United Way President David Taylor said Tuesday, referring to United Way funding cuts last year following an unsuccessful campaign. This year is shared success. United Way's Board of Directors has approved $2,967,308 for 63 human services programs for the fiscal year beginning July 1st. This year, $2,829,544 went to 61 programs. The campaign went up, so the dollars are going up, Taylor told the Pantograph. Most programs will experience increases, including Project Oz's Students Achieving More Every Day, Heartland Head Starts Preschool, Milestones Early Learning Center and Preschool, and Mark First Supported Employment. Among programs receiving less money beginning July 1st will be Head Start's Full-Day Extension, Mid-Central Community Action's Housing Counseling, Prairie State Legal Services' Income Stability, and Project Oz's Services for Pregnant or Parenting Homeless Youth and Transitional Living for Homeless Youth. 50 community volunteers made funding recommendations to the United Way Board based on how programs are meeting community needs, said Michael Donnelly, the agency's community impact manager. Funding requests outpaced available dollars. Project Oz Executive Director Peter Renkatis said, "Ideally, we would like to get what we requested, but United Way, like all of us, is struggling to do the most with what they have. We'll work with it, the funding allocation." Five programs will receive United Way funding for the first time. Youth Build McLean County's Volunteer to Employment, Chestnut Health System's Credit Counseling, Oz's Learning and Leading, Western Avenue Community Center's Employment Services, and Labyrinth's Employment Program. Youth Build's program, which will get $51,840, places youth with nonprofit agencies to build work skills through volunteerism, said Alicia Leonard, Director of Organizational Advancement. "We are ecstatic to receive funding to expand the program," Leonard said. "As a pilot, Volunteer to Employment has helped some youths get job offers while meeting community needs," she said. Leading and Learning helps youth in need to get summer jobs at State Farm, Country Financial, and McDonald's, Renkatis said. With $18,522 in United Way funding, the program will introduce more youths to the work world, he said. "We are so excited and so thrilled," Renkatis said. "This will be great for youth, their families, employers, and the community." PATH, providing access to help, is handing off its program that provides rent and utility assistance to people in crisis because the program became too large for PATH as it managed its other programs, said Executive Director Karen Zangerl. That money will go to Next Step, a collaboration of agencies, including Community Action. "We are happy that there is another program willing to take that on," Zangerl said. United Way is holding $8,941 for any education initiatives that may come up in the next year, Taylor said. Family Stays Behind as Sculptures Leave IWU by Lenore Sabota. After a one-year visit to Illinois Wesleyan University, five outdoor sculptures were loaded on a flatbed truck Tuesday, headed to an exhibition in downtown Rockford. But a sixth sculpture, Family with Dog by Boaz Vadia, will remain on the Eckerd Quadrangle thanks to a donation by an anonymous donor. "It's wonderful to have public art like that on campus," Matt Kurz, Vice President for Communication, said Tuesday. "We've enjoyed having them here." In addition to Family with Dog, a sculpture of bronze, bluestone, and boulders, the year-long exhibit included another Vadia piece, Ahav, depicting a person sitting on a rock, and four others by Hans van de Bovenkamp, including a 24-foot-long stainless steel archway, SOG Portal No. 6. The two New York-based artists had agreed to have their works displayed at IWU without charge. Donations covered transportation and installation costs. The pieces previously had been part of the Sarasota Season of Sculpture in Florida. Their trip to IWU came about after IWU President Dick Wilson remarked at a gathering of alumni in Florida that he would like to have sculptures on the quad someday. All the time the sculptures were installed, Wilson said, I think it tells people the arts are alive and well. Kurz said having outdoor sculptures adds to the experience of visitors and makes art available to anyone in the community. It brings people to campus. During the year the works were on campus, the university had a sculpture walk map with information about each piece on its website. The university still has outdoor art in place, including a statue of former President Minor Myers Jr. outside Ames Library. A water sculpture being installed in the area north of State Farm Hall will be dedicated later this year, Kurz said. County Board Releases Action Plan for Improving Mental Health by Edith Brady Lunny. Sweeping changes are needed to improve significant shortcomings in community mental health services that have left people vulnerable and at risk for incarceration. That's the conclusion of a Mental Health Action Plan released Tuesday by the McLean County Board. The report is the culmination of 15 months of work by two county board advisory panels on mental health. The panels included county board members, healthcare providers, and community members. County Board Chairman Matt Sorensen said the document outlines the board's expectations for how mentally ill people should be treated. This really becomes a roadmap that will drive much more hard work, Sorensen said of the 92-page report. The report found significant gaps and delays exist in mental health services. Several primary weaknesses contribute to the problem, said the report. There is an urgent need to enhance the transitions of individuals between institutions and community providers. Lack of interagency communication, absence of data-rich reporting, failure to ensure that other payers for mental health services are leveraged first, and inadequate supply of mental health professionals were outlined as major problems. The lack of support by local providers for mentally ill people released from jail adds to the problem, said the action plan. Moreover, due to lack of support outside the justice system, treatment within the justice system goes for naught as detainees return to unstructured and untreated environments that relegate improvements and stabilization within the criminal justice system, and recidivism continues, notes the report. Board member John McIntyre, one of four board members who headed committees that drafted the final report, said a proposed Behavioral Health Coordinating Council could help the board with policy decisions on mental health. The plan could take several years to implement, said McIntyre, adding that, I know as a county board, we're in it for the long haul. A county board oversight committee to review public and behavioral health programs is also an objective under the plan. The plan could serve as a model for other communities and enhance McLean County's economic status through its efforts to improve critical services, said board member Eric Rankin. This could be a large economic driver to put McLean County on the map as a model for Illinois and the region, said Rankin. The plan acknowledges the progress that's been made on some fronts, including the opening of a crisis stabilization center by Chestnut Health Systems and specialty courts to divert people from the criminal justice system. Specific portions of the plan that fall under county board control will be directed to committees later this summer, said Sorensen. Student Center Project Called Transformational by Lenore Sabota. A $33 million renovation of Illinois State University's Bone Student Center will be transformational, better meeting the institution's needs and increasing efficiency, according to key administrators involved. We've known for some time that the building doesn't quite meet the needs of the university, said David Gill, Director of Facilities Planning. This will be transformational for the campus. When the center was built in 1973, university needs and student expectations were different. A master plan approved by the Board of Trustees in 2011 identified changes needed to campus facilities. Trustees approved the start of construction at their meeting May 8th, but there is a lot of work to be done before the hammers come out, according to Gill. The project will be paid for primarily with reserve funds. No tax money will be used, and there will be no increase in student fees for the project, President Larry Dietz told the board. The first phase of the revitalization project will include improvements to the west entrance with the addition of a reception area for people waiting to attend events in the Brown Ballroom, construction of a new entrance on the east side for access to the visitors' parking lot. It will include a multi-story addition with an information center for visitors and students. Reconfiguring a north side loading dock that is difficult for trucks to navigate and allows winter cold air and summer heat to enter the first floor. Relocation of the second floor catering kitchen, originally used for a long-gone cafeteria, to the first floor, adjacent to a renovated loading dock. Among those anxious to see work begin is Troy Johnson, Associate Vice President of Enrollment Management. "It showcases our university well," he said of the planned changes. The project will provide a place where admission staff can meet and greet visitors and help them find their way around campus, according to Gill and Johnson. The campus visit is well known as one of the most pivotal activities that families engage in before choosing a college, Johnson said. A presentation area on the third floor of the East Side addition will overlook the quad. "The view will be inspirational," Johnson said. "We'll be able to talk about the university by actually pointing to things." Johnson believes that area will be popular for other functions. Gill said the project will be phased in to minimize disruption. No parking spaces will be lost in the north lot, although the layout might have to be reconfigured, he said. That is not part of this phase of construction. Instead of a small, out-of-the-way outdoor stairway to get from the lower level to the Milner Plaza, between the library and student center, new exterior stairs will provide a more inviting, clearly defined path to the university quad, according to a description of the project. An elevator in the east side addition also will make access easier for people using wheelchairs, Gill said. The bookstore will be moved to the first floor with an entrance from the parking lot. BACC wins 7 state titles in job competition. By Derek Bai. Illinois' best amateur firefighter doesn't look like you might expect. The state champion in this year's Skills USA Fire Science Competition isn't a 6'5", 300-pound linebacker. It's Victoria Ketterer, a Central Catholic High School junior with average size but no fear. "I don't think it was intimidating for me because I've been in a man-dominated sport, martial arts, all my life," she said. "The fact I would actually win against all these guys was pretty shell-shocking to me. That was a shock for a lot of people." Ketterer's next challenge is Nationals, where she'll compete against other state fire science champions June 22nd to 27th in Louisville, Kentucky. At the state contest, where 53 of her fellow Bloomington Area Career Center students also competed April 23rd to 25th in Springfield, Ketterer will roll into Nationals with 14 other advancing BACC entrants in a range of fields. BACC Director Tom Frazier said he can't remember a better Skills USA performance from his students than 2015's 7 state titles and 15 more top 5 finishes. "We just have a really talented group of students," said Nikki Meyer, one of 2 Skills USA coaches at BACC. For some students, including Ketterer, training for Skills USA is the same as learning in class because their competitions line up with BACC programs. That edge helped BACC students win state in categories including cosmetology, crime scene investigation, which links to BACC's criminal justice class, and Health Knowledge Bowl, which aligns with the center's newest course in health careers and medical technology. Other BACC wins include job skill demonstration, promotional bulletin board, and restaurant service. Meyer said she and Coach Catherine White, who are both new to the program this year, focused on the only activity every student would do at state, an etiquette test that served as a tiebreaker in individual categories. Ketterer said the fire competition tested hands-on skills where you're doing bits and pieces of what people do on a fire department, including connecting fire hoses, loading them onto an engine, and lugging them upstairs. Students also carried a 155-pound dummy representing a fire victim. In fire science, we're always told we're a huge family, and no matter what school we were from, we were all cheering, Ketterer said of the state competition. It was really cool to have your competitors be among your main supporters. As for nationals, Ketterer is excited about her supporters there too. I'm really looking forward to going to nationals with my friends and my sister and my mom, she said. After the summer, Ketterer plans to take BACC's EMT basic class, then go to college. Her eventual goal is to be a paramedic in a big city, with working as a first responder as a fallback plan. It's great getting to compete again because I want to be in fire science, she said. It's what I love to do. Bloomington to Review Process for Vetting Job Applicants by Maria Nagel. The sudden resignation of Bloomington's water director after 8 days on the job has the city reconsidering how it scrutinizes job applicants. Patrick Ryan resigned May 7th, 2 days after the city placed him on paid leave pending an investigation into allegations of potential misconduct and violation of city discrimination and harassment policies. That information was in a letter notifying Ryan of his placement on administrative leave, which the city later provided to the Pantograph in response to a Freedom of Information Act request for documents related to complaints and disciplinary action involving Ryan since he assumed leadership of the city water department on April 27th. Typically, the city does not comment on personnel matters, but based on information being brought forward by other municipalities, City Manager David Hales said the city wanted to address the situation. Allegations were brought to my attention regarding potential inappropriate statements made by Mr. Ryan and other concerns related to his management of the water department, said Hales, adding an investigation was immediately launched. It's possible the situation could have been avoided had the city taken additional steps, including using FOIA requests, to learn more about Ryan's prior employment history, said Mayor Terry Renner. We need to be very aggressive in vetting all employees, especially department heads, Renner said. We want to have a very different vetting process moving forward. The Pantograph learned through one of the FOIA requests to three Chicago-area municipalities where Ryan previously worked that he resigned in 2005 as Lake in the Hills Public Works Director under a similar request that he leave willingly or be fired. The other two communities, Homewood and Riverside, have not yet responded to the FOIA requests. Bloomington officials didn't know about a Lake in the Hills employment separation agreement during their review of Ryan. The city's hiring process includes checking references that applicants provide and calling previous employers, said Nicole Albertson, Bloomington's Human Resources Director. The city received nothing from Ryan's references or former employers to indicate any reason to question his prior employment or our city hiring him, she said. Most of the time, the employers verify just the position held and dates of their employment, Albertson said. That was the case with Mr. Ryan. Ryan said he did not disclose the earlier separation agreement when Bloomington officials interviewed him over several months, beginning last fall. City Attorney Jeff Juergens said there is nothing that precludes the city from using FOIAs to vet applicants. While private companies do not have to respond to FOIAs, it could be a way to more thoroughly vet candidates previously employed in public positions, Juergens said. Documents from Lake in the Hills revealed Ryan was reprimanded repeatedly for alleged poor job performance. Reported problems included being late for work, delays in maintaining professional certifications, personal use of the internet during working hours, including visits to inappropriate websites, poor budgeting, lack of follow-through and oversight on several projects, and his admission to referring to a woman using derogatory language in front of other female employees, according to documents obtained by the Pantograph. Ryan said he did nothing in Bloomington or in Lake in the Hills to warrant being asked to resign. He said his problems in Bloomington amounted to a misunderstanding of remarks he made to some employees his first couple days on the job. In Lake of the Hills, Ryan said he had a personality clash with his supervisor, whom Ryan filed a formal harassment complaint against at the request of several subordinates. "I agree with Mayor Renner's assessment that we need to be very careful in our vetting," said Ward 6 Alderman Karen Schmidt. Heartland, EIU, enter Reverse Transfer Pact, by Lenore Sabota. Heartland Community College and Eastern Illinois University officials signed a reverse transfer agreement Tuesday night that will make it easier for students who transfer to receive an associate's degree. Under the agreement signed before Tuesday's Board of Trustees meeting, a student who completes at least 30 credit hours of coursework at Heartland but transfers to EIU before completing an associate's degree can have transcripts sent back to Heartland each semester. Heartland will compare the courses completed at Eastern to those required for an associate's degree. If requirements are met, Heartland will award the degree at no cost to the student. The agreement will serve several purposes, but officials from both schools agreed the key benefit is to the students. Reaching a benchmark, such as receiving an associate's degree, can encourage students to persevere toward their bachelor's degree, explained Rick Pierce, Heartland's Vice President for Learning and Student Success. In short, Heartland President Rob Widmer said, "Success leads to success." In addition, if a student drops out before receiving a bachelor's degree, having an associate's degree can help them when seeking a job, suggested Blair Lord, EIU Provost and Vice President for Academic Affairs. "Having such agreements is not unique to Illinois, but it hasn't received a lot of attention here," Lord said. EIU started such a reverse transfer with Lakeland Community College in nearby Mattoon about a year ago, Lord said. "We now have a pattern," Lord said, "making it easier to adapt the program for other community colleges. Richland, Danville, and Parkland community colleges already have made inquiries," he said. Pierce said he wants to give this a little bit of time to play out, then approach Illinois State University about a similar program. Ward said, "We hope that it becomes the model for the state." During the board meeting, Doug Minter, Vice President of Business Services, gave board members a preliminary report on the budget for fiscal year 2016. The tentative budget will be presented to the board at its June 9th meeting. "We don't anticipate any trouble putting together a balanced budget in June," Minter told the board, but he cautioned that a lot can change in a month and between June and the fiscal budget in September. "One of the most critical assumptions is enrollment projection," Minter said. "That could have a significant impact on the bottom line." At this point, Minter is projecting a credit hour enrollment decline of 1.5% over the year. Library Board Postpones Hiring Architects, by Maria Nagel. Hiring an architect to study expanding Bloomington Public Library was postponed to provide new board members and two current trustees an opportunity to see the two finalists' presentations. Library Director Georgia Buda will contact the firms, Farnsworth Group of Bloomington and Nagel Hartray of Chicago, to invite them to make their presentations again on June 3rd or 4th. The firms originally made presentations during a special meeting in March, but four of the trustees, Bill Wetzel, Narendra Jaggi, Kathy Pratt, and Jared Brown, left the board May 1st, and current trustees, Susan O'Rourke and Whitney Thomas, did not attend. Two earlier votes by the board ended in ties. The library is looking to expand because it has grown in circulation from 600,000 volumes to 1.5 million volumes in the past 9 years. The firm will evaluate the library's current space needs and land availability. Tuesday's meeting was the first for newly appointed trustees Carol Coos, Mike Rakes, and Robert W. Porter, who filled 3 of the 4 vacancies on the board. Coos previously served on the board for 18 years, but took a year's hiatus because of term limits approved by the City Council in 2014. City Board and Commission members are limited to 3 consecutive 3-year terms or 9 consecutive years of service. Members who meet the limit can be reappointed after a year off. Mayor Terry Renner appoints the trustees, and he said he plans to name Julian Westerhout to fill the remaining vacancy on the 9-member board. Officers will be Coos, President, Brittany Cornell, Vice President, Emily Callahan, Secretary, and O'Rourke, Treasurer. In other action, the board approved a 2.25% cost of living raise for Buddha. Because the board has not yet established goals and objectives for her, a merit pay increase for Buddha was not approved. How time flies for May 20th, 2015. 100 years ago, May 20th, 1915, the Bloomington Bloomers, 4-13 so far this season, will stay here instead of moving. The team is broke, but 3i League President Tierney successfully appealed to retiring franchise board members to pony up some funds and keep baseball here. 75 years ago, May 20th, 1940, City Election Commissions cannot make voter party preferences public, says a ruling for the Springfield Election Commission. Cities had awaited this ruling. Bloomington was one of the cities that allowed public inspection of voters' primary poll cards. 50 years ago, May 20th, 1965. In a modern-day episode from Les Miserables, Stoy Eckert stole some dressed chickens from the Oakland Avenue Kroger store to feed his family. He didn't have enough money to pay for the chickens and the light bill. A jury found him guilty. 25 years ago, May 20th, 1990. Head Start, the early childhood learning program, is observing 25 years of operation. It began as part of President Lyndon Johnson's War on Poverty program. Locally, Head Start is located in Raymond School on Magoon Street. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Bloomington Normal Pantograph dated May 20th, 2015. Please stay tuned.